All right, I want you to look at Luke. Luke 2:40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, being filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents went into Jerusalem year by year at the feast of the Passover. Now, I want you to pay close attention, because as far as I know, I'm the only one that believes what I believe, but I'm sure somebody else has thought of it. I don't believe that Jesus was born in the winter. I believe he was born at Passover. And I have lots of reasons for believing that. But this is the key scripture. So when he was 12 years old, he went to the temple. And then they would go year by year to the temple to celebrate the Passover. And his parents went to Jerusalem year by year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, Now, we know that he died at Passover. So, there are four Passovers that he attended. And one year, and then another year, and then another year, and then final crucifixion. So during his ministry, he attended four. And because he was 30 years old, he started his ministry. Jewish people, if you're going to be a rabbi, you have to be 30. And one of the things you have to do, because you get bar mitzvah at 12, and then bat mitzvah at 12. But one of the things you do is you have to learn a trade so that the rabbi would never be out of work. So he has to have a trade in his background. And I do, because of the way I was raised. And before I even knew there was a Jesus or even cared about him, I was already working my way up the scale, because we were poor, extreme poverty, and Chicago. And the family was, as you know, mostly mafia. So bad people. But I didn't think of them as bad, because that's all I had. They were just people. But anyway. So his parents brought him to Passover when he was 12. So we know that if you bring somebody to Passover when you're 12... Now, it's not crystal clear that the second he was 12, but nevertheless, I have an even bigger surmise that this is actually Abraham's birthday as well on Passover, because it's their beginning of the new year. And they have two beginnings, but this is the spring one. And so I believe that when he was 12, he was born at tax time. Exactly. You remember it said the whole world was taxed. That means that everybody in the Roman world was being taxed by Caesar. And to do that, you have to have a census. And so they write down your data, and then you come and pay a fee. Your tax. And it's annual. So every year. So this Caesar Augustus came up with this idea. Hey, you know, I'm in power. Let's take advantage of this system. I could I could use these people for my raising money. I don't have to ask them. I can just, with all my soldiers, I think I could win. And so it's forced on you, even though it's voluntary. I mean, it's definitely voluntary, but it's forced. In other words, try not paying. You'll find out how much force they can bring against you. They can garnish wages. They can steal your business. They can haul you out of a car. I mean, they can do all kinds of wicked things for a free people. So I just want you to know, don't mess with the IRS. They're tough. And I had a friend who was in the criminal division, and you don't want to mess with him. He was a church member, and you know, he was strictly Boy Scout, but after a while he left because I raised some questions and made him think about it. It doesn't seem right. I said to me, that doesn't seem right. Nobody really wants this. Nobody's consenting to this. And they don't mind raising a little bit money for constitutional issues, but we don't want to raise all kinds of money for the government to be corrupt and powerful and have all your data, all of it. They know everything about you, and they like that. Now, a lot of people don't pay taxes, so they just kind of escape through the... nobody's paying attention to them. And once you don't sign up, it's hard to get you in the system. So a lot of people just don't do it. But I would say, I don't know if it's the majority, lots of people don't pay taxes. Lots. And if they feel they could get a 60% on the people that they do know about, they feel they've done very, very well. So, and it costs them, I don't know what the price is today, but several years ago, 10, 15 years ago, $2,000 an hour. And so they don't deal with you if you're just, you know, you're only making pennies. They only deal with you if you have something, because it's costing them a lot of money to sue you and to do all their bookkeeping and so on and so forth. So, if Jesus was born at Passover, that changes the whole thing. For one thing, you don't have snow on the Christmas card. And for another thing, you don't travel during the winter months, so no one would ever set the Passover and then raise a tax on that, unless the crop was coming in. It was the barley crop. So this was early spring. Oat, barley, those kind of things you can grow over the winter. And then they're harvested. So that's why I believe that Jesus was born at Passover. Now, I'll prove it. I'll show you what it says. And when he was 12 years old, they going up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, fulfilling the days in their returning. The boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know. But so you see, Joseph is not his father. Do you see that? He's legally took responsibility. But he said, and his mother. So Jesus, Mary is his mother, but Joseph is not his father. And they're very careful about these kind of details. And the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother did not know. They weren't even aware that he wasn't among the family. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day on the way, and they looked for him among the relatives and friends, and not finding him, they decided to return to Jerusalem looking for him. So, wow, what's happened to him? What? He's only 12 years old. You don't want a 12-year-old wandering about, even if it's in Jerusalem. What's he up to? He's always been obedient. Now, all of a sudden, something interesting is going to happen here. And they looked for him among the relatives and friends, and not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it happened, after 3 days, they finally found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, even hearing them and questioning them. And all those hearing him were amazed at his intelligence. Isn't that amazing? So even at 12 years old, he knew all the scriptures. In fact, it's his life. The scriptures are him. What the law and the prophets are all about is Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament is about Jesus. Everything. Everything. You search the scriptures, he said to the Jewish people. You search the scriptures because you think that in them, scriptures, you have eternal life. Mm-mm. The written word of God is the word of God because it's what Jesus said and prophets said and so on. But he is the living word of God, not the written word of God. So the written word of God leads you always to the living word of God. You don't pray to the Bible. You pray to Jesus. You understand that. So when you're praying, your relationship with him, Jesus, is paramount. It's all we need. It's all we have. Carl had that. So he united the family together. That was powerful. He knew this is the last thing. He was hesitant to, at least jump right in. So he had to think about it. It's not part of his tradition. But then he realized tradition is not the only thing. There's something much more important. Truth. So he was a God seeker. And he found him. What a joy. What a joy.
Could I just answer?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
The nurse, when you got, she said, that was a man of God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Powerful. Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Even to have a Christian become a Christian is outstanding. But to have a Jewish person, oh no, they resist. they don't want to be that. We don't want that. But praise God, because he was a lover. He loved his fellow man. And he was kind. He was fair. Because of that, he was open to the truth. And it happened after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, even hearing them, questioning them, and all those hearing him were amazed at his intelligence and at his answers. And seeing him, they were astounded. And his mother said to him, "Child, why did you do so to us? Behold, your father and I were looking for you." Greatly distressed. And he said to them, "Why did you look for me? Did you not know that I must be busy in the affairs of my father?" Wow. That's amazing. It's like they didn't understand that. What? How is he answering? He'd always been obedient. He always did whatever they said. Now all of a sudden, he's about his father's business, and they don't even know what he's talking about. What? Your father is right here. This is your father, legal. He said, I'm not talking about that father, but he didn't explain it. He just simply said, without explanation, I have to be about my father's business. I'm taking care of his sheep. I'm the good shepherd. And he said to them, why did you look for me? Did you not know I must be busy, occupied, in the affairs of my father? And they did not understand the word which he spoke to them. And he went with them and came to Nazareth and was being subject to them from that moment on. And his mother carefully kept all these words in her heart. Jesus progressed in wisdom, stature, and favor before God and man. So, this is your Jesus, and I'm explaining to you, first of all, the three wise men came a couple of years later. And that's why Herod had to figure out, No. When did you see the star? Oh, no. Okay. And it was in this direction? How long? And so he figured out, I better not just go 9 months on this trip. Let me go 2 years. And so that's in the scripture. Rachel was not comforted because of her children. She was not comforted. And she lost in childbirth. She lost. But that's when Benjamin came forth. So Joseph and Benjamin. And she died right there in Bethlehem. She died right there in Bethlehem. Now, it's not very far from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph's bones. It's not very far. That's in Hebron, H-E-V. Or we say Hebron. But H-E-V-R-O-N, it's just behind Jerusalem. It's just behind, it's about only 6 miles. And then it's an extra, let's say, altogether maybe a half an hour to get to Hebron. But it's on the other side of Bethlehem. So the city of Jerusalem is here, and then you go south. And then there's Jerusalem about 6 miles away where the sheep came into the thing. And then beyond that, maybe another 20 minutes or more, Hebron. So they're all in the same area. But she died there. And that was where her grave is to this day. Her bones are still there. So it's a powerful thing. Now, why have Jesus born at Bethlehem? Well, first of all, John the Baptist fulfilled the 3.5 years by 6 months. He was 6 months older than Jesus, and I told you, Jewish people cannot be a teacher or a rabbi unless you're 30 years old. So there wasn't no spring chicken just come out of college or seminary. You had to be some maturity. You had to be able to take care of yourself. And so by saying that 6 months plus 3 years of his ministry, that's 3.5 years, exactly the time, 1260 days, that Jesus, so it has to be. And I noticed this a long, long, long time ago. I wonder why people celebrate. Do you know why they celebrate? You know why they celebrate December 25th? Mithraism. It's a pagan holiday. Baal is worshipped on that holiday. And they actually have you born again. That is, you go underneath. They build a big tower, and then you're bathed in the blood of the bull. And then you're born again. So it's very similar, but obviously not true. So it's all made up. But so Jesus being born at Passover time when he was about to be 40. That's later on in the book. It's the same book, Luke. You can read it. When he was about to be 40, that's right there in the Bible. So that means Passover was the most important of all the festivals. It's the beginning of everything. It's not the consummation, but it's the beginning of everything. First month of the year, and so on and so forth. That's when the Jewish people, remember, they had a Passover lamb in Egypt, and then they came out. So that's how they started out. And he said, that should be your first month. So God has arranged everything so that, now I don't want you to teach what I taught you because the people won't like you. And so don't teach what I taught you. But since I knew today would not be a big group, I thought I'd teach you something very interesting. If you read the Bible, especially Luke, you'll see that he nails it. None of the others disagree with it. They just didn't state it clearly. But he stated it very clearly. When he was 12, you can't be Passovered until you're 12. The minute he's 12, boom, down he goes at Passover because you're 12. Once you're 12, then whatever your birthday is, within that time period, you have to go to Passover. And so when he was 12, it's amazing. And when he died later, he also saw this whole thing is rigged by God to measure everything that Jesus did is precision. There's nothing accidental. There's nothing accidental. So everything that God does is perfect, and you can't change a thing. You cannot change a thing. So the celebration of Christmas is not just a holiday. It's a holy day. Why? Because that's when you first found out that mercy rejoices against judgment. That's when you found that out, is that God doesn't want to judge you under a law because you're all guilty. He wants to judge you under the gospel, which is not fair. He wants to just let you off because Jesus died for you. Well, that's not fair. I did wrong, and now he's not only not punishing me, he had Jesus be punished in my stead, on my behalf, in my place. Wow. You know, you only can respond to that in one way. Thank you. All you can do is just say, wow, thank you. I mean, like, wow, why? I wouldn't die for anybody. Why did you die for me? Personally, that nobody has ever figured out. I mean, you can say it, the scripture says, but nobody has figured out the depth of the love of God for each individual person born into this world. He has never hated anybody at any time, and he never will. Only religion like it. All other religions are built on laws. Ours is built on a promise. Everything in my life is now, wasn't when I grew up, but is now built on a promise. So there are no laws because Jesus kept the law for me. So there was a law, but the one for me, actually, he fulfilled it for me. I wouldn't have done that if I were God. I'd give me what I deserve. I know I was no good, but I didn't get that. I am still to this day grateful. To this day, I'm still grateful. I can't believe I'm going to heaven, and I'm living heaven on earth, and I have a wonderful congregation. No, I mean, I can't believe God. So, I mean, he's just blessed me beyond measure. And I hope I live a long time, but I may not. So I don't really care. Because God loves me, and I've settled that long ago. I've settled that my life is nothing. It's apart from Him, you can do nothing. I don't have any life apart from Him. But in Him, I can do all things. In Him, I can do all things. Wow. How many know that there's no limit? You don't even know what the limits are. But whatever they are, it's always on your side. It's always for your blessing. Again, you can't share what I shared today. Just keep it to yourself. But know this, everyone else is wrong. I'm just telling you, they're wrong about this Bible. It's so simple. But I read it night and day. So you just read it. It doesn't say that. This is what it says. So His incarnation is not subordinate. That if God hadn't sent Him into the world, we would never know the words of God. He's the only one that knows Him. He's in the bosom of the Father, and He's made Him known. Every son should reveal their father. Every son should reveal their father. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, the mantle in your family has landed on you. And you have that. Is that whatever Dad was interested in, I'm going to finish what he started. I'm going to be what he wanted to be. And he ran out of time. But he didn't. Because everything is on time. Everything is on time. So there's nothing to it. Anyway, every detail in the Bible is absolutely perfect. Everything about man is absolutely not perfect. So everything that you do is worthless. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Man in his best states, nothing. So, I don't have anything to achieve because I believe Jesus did it all. So, I don't have anything to prove because Jesus did everything I needed to do. And since he did, Father loves me. Father himself loveth you. Amen? So, now you know from my research and study that Jesus was born in the spring. Tax time. And that's why Caesar Augustus is in that story. Because this was the first taxing of the whole world that is run by Rome. And Rome will be the last kingdom on earth of men. But we are the last kingdom. And now there's a battle between us in Rome. Which one will finish the Tower of Babel? We're not even working on that because Jesus is our Savior, our Lord, our Bridegroom. Now, at 12 years old, you're called the son of the Torah. So when he went to Torah at 12 years old, first Passover that he could attend and participate in. He's now called the son of the Torah. And so his answers to these rabbis was astounding. They couldn't believe a 12-year-old knew more than they knew. I mean, it's almost like it was his life. It's like, he seemed to know this pretty well. So, because he understood everything. Now, bat mitzvah is the female portion when you're 12. And bad mitzvah is the male. So, you're the son or daughter of the Torah. And now a lot of non-Orthodox people celebrate both. And even the Orthodox sometimes do. So it's a little bit mixed up today. But when you are a scholar at 12 years old, never happened before, he could actually answer them, ask questions, and then answer the questions, because he knew the scriptures inside and out, because they were his life. Every scripture in the Old Testament refers to Jesus. Not one jot, not one tittle can be eliminated in the Old Testament. It's always saying Jesus, no matter what. Now, because you have to read between the lines to understand the spirit of the law, when you read between the lines, you're not just reading what's there, because when you read it spiritually, it comes off differently than the letter of the law killeth. Now the spirit of the law giveth life. So Jesus was able to say, man does not obey the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He could make strange statements like, don't you know, I just been bar mitzvahed, and I'm already a son of the Torah. I know the Torah because it's my story. History is his story. All of human history, secular and religious, political, economic, all of it refers to Jesus. He is the foundation of this world. He was first and last and everything in between. So what he did at Christmas time is not just free presents under the tree. It's actually his heart. You're seeing the heart of God, that nothing costs anything in the kingdom of God. It's all been provided free. And so that's how we're to live in this world. So how many have determined, I'm going to be a Christian voluntarily? No one has to make me. I just want to be completely sold out to Jesus. Don't worry about your behavior. I'm not worried about it. God's not worried about it. Not that it doesn't matter. It matters, but it's his life, not yours. The issue then in the Bible is, did Jesus do everything, or did he leave one thing for you to do? Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. Though you imagine you're doing something, you're not. Man at his best state altogether. Vanity. So he must be about his father's business. From age 12, he was already outwitting the rabbis. He could carry on a conversation and they could not answer his questions, because he is Jesus. And so none of us could do it. None of us could do it. But Jesus easily. He did not give up his Son of God when he became in the form of a man. He just did that so he could die. He was tempted in every way like us, but never did he yield to the temptation, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. So today we are to be his perfected bride, and he's coming back for us. He's coming back for us. So you have to be perfect. Since you can't do that, he did it for you. Now you're perfect. So you can say, I'm perfect in God's sight. I'm not perfect in my sight, but I'm perfect in his sight. He thinks I'm beloved.
Amen.
That's why I say every day to my wife, Peggy, you're the best. Or similar words to that effect. And especially I say it when she's not feeling that great. You're the best. You're a gift of God. And it makes her think, what is this love, unconditional love of God? He wants you to prosper, Willis. He doesn't want you just to prosper spiritually. He wants you to prosper in every way. Right? If you don't get a hold of that, you don't get a hold of that. But God wants you to realize you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ on the earth. You are a steward of the mysteries of righteousness. You're not like everyone else. Their mystery is iniquity. Ours is not. Ours has to be that we're actually reflecting God in everything we say and do. Is that possible? No, of course not. So how is it done? Jesus did it. Jesus is still doing it. He never has left us. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he's still busy. He didn't wind up the clock and then let it run out. So the world will not end in a big bang. The world never began that way, and it'll never end that way. God has mysteries that he has not shared with us, but they're in the Bible. They're in the Bible. You can read them. He knows, the Bible knows things you don't know. And when you read it, you're actually reading secrets. And once you know them, they change your life. So like Jesus, he went home and was obedient to his parents until he became a man. And then he knew, I have 3 years of ministry after John's death. And when I finish, I'll go home. I'll go home. So now he's at home. Now he's coming back. Come back for his bride. He's not coming back for a believer. He's not coming back for a disciple. He's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. So that's our commitment. Since I can't make the commitment in my name, I can make it in his. I can't make that commitment in my name because I can't do anything apart from him. But in him, I can do all things. So you have no limit. There is no limit. You don't even know how much God has provided in this world. And because Christians are not ruling right now, you have to be patient. But someday, we'll rule. Someday we'll rule. And we can already start now. But you have to get the sin out of your life. How do you have to do that? You don't. He does. You don't have to do it. He does it. You don't have to do it. He does it. Amen. So you can't clean up even one sin. I mean, the smallest sin, you just can't clean it up. But Jesus can do everything. He is unique and all-sufficient. He is unique and all-sufficient. Nobody is like him. He loves you, and you love him. We love because he first loved us. Amen. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, which will be tomorrow. And tomorrow will be the start of a new year. And I believe that 2017 was not an uneventful year. And I believe that 2018 will even be more astounding. I have reasons for that. But he's getting us ready for his return. Now, if you don't have if you're not in love with Jesus, you're not paying attention. But Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle. And so you now are a Christian reflecting Jesus in your life. So it's powerful. Do I need to exhort you? Yes, I can exhort you, but I can't command you. I can exhort you. Don't make provision for the flesh. Whatever Jesus tells you, do it. Do it post haste. But since it's not your power, it's His power. Since it's not your mercy, it's His mercy. It's not His holiness, that's your holiness. He is holy so that you can be holy. So that holiness of God, seen through the mercy of God, according to the power of God, is His true holiness. There is no other holiness. That's why mercy triumphs, exalts against kata. So that word means boastful, the bad sense, or it means you have hope in the gospel in the good sense. So you now have the ability, the living God dwells in you right now.
Hallelujah.
Do you deserve it? No. Does He want you to deserve it? No. He wants it to be a free gift. Everything is a free gift. So, relax. I know some of you aren't, but relax. Rest. God is for you. Who can be against you? All right. God is great. Thank you all for coming. I thought we would have a small group today. When I saw Willis showed up, I knew it was going to be all right. No, actually, Andrew. I think Andrew was first. He was first. Yes.
You mentioned something about 40 years. In regards, I thought that Jesus, was there something, did you mean 40 years?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
You didn't mean 40
no.
years? No. Basically,
yeah.
He, after His ministry.
Yeah.
He was about 33 and some.
Yeah.
33
right.
and some days.
Yeah. All right, we'll have our offering.
What's going on at Fort Worth tomorrow, the church tomorrow?
10 o'clock, we dedicate the building, the funds, our lives. We dedicate everything because nothing in the church belongs to anybody. It all is for God's use purposes. It cannot be, if you do anything in the church, that's Pastor Jim's idea, is evil. Everything in the church has to be a celebration of that. So I don't know how many years we've done it, maybe 12 years. But we have celebrated dedicating the church every year. Why? Because it's in the Bible. They had an annual dedication of the temple. And so that's... We're going to be the temple of the living God. It's not a building. We're the building. So, we just surrender everything, which proves we're not part of the world. Because no one can make a church. The government cannot make a church. The government cannot perfect a church. The government cannot forgive a church. The government cannot marry a church. Government can do nothing religiously. That belongs to God exclusively. So by doing these outward things, because all of God's blessings have an outward show, but they're inward grace. The inward grace is what's necessary. So it isn't, there's water in baptism, there's bread and wine, and all of those are external things. But they contain a mystery. They contain a mystery. And so that's our faith. We don't worship the symbol. We don't worship the symbol or the building or anything else. We don't believe in sacred space. Roman Catholics do. Orthodox do. Jewish people do. We don't. So all of those religions belong to this world because they're external, period. They have nothing spiritual about them. Nothing. So you have to be born again, filled with the Spirit and led of the Spirit every day. All right. God is good. We're just...
One last sentence for the lady girl, please.
Praise God. We talked today about Jesus being born in the springtime, Passover. I read out of the second chapter of Luke when it says when he was 12 years old, when he was 12, then he went to his bat mitzvah and he astounded not only his parents, but astounded the teachers of the church, the rabbis. They had never heard anything like it. This young person, he almost talked as though he were the center of everything. Because he is. He's the center of my life. There isn't anything else. Anyway, so we talked about that, but I recommended nobody share this because no one will believe you. Even if you prove it, they don't care. They're going to celebrate Mithraism on December 25th. It's a totally 100% pagan holiday. And so it's one of the mystery religions in the ancient world. And so all they did was they baptized everything in the world and just turned it into Mary. And, you know, they just took a Roman statue and made a Peter and so on and so forth. I'm sorry. That's all they did. They just simply baptized everything in the world for Christian use. Pagan, totally pagan. You cannot mix the religious things of God with the things of man. My kingdom is not of this world. Did you know you cannot see the kingdom of God today? But when he comes back, you will see it. You will see it with your own eyes. Job, he said, I know that on the latter day, I'm going to see with my own eyes in the land of the living, I'm going to see the kingdom of God. How could that man, way, way long ago, have such faith? Such faith. He never refers to Abraham or Noah or Moses or anything. So we don't know who he is. But whatever he is, it's a powerful thing for us. So God called him perfect. He called him perfect. Now, he wasn't perfect behavior. They even tried to get him to admit his guilt. But he would not, because he never violated his conscience as far as he knew. And if that's true, let God come down here and tell me to his face. And sure enough, he put his hand over his mouth and said, sorry, God. Because God showed him something. Where were you when I made the snowflake? Were you there? And where were you when I made, you know, the giraffe's neck? I mean, God just surprised him by asking questions, which, you know, he was not an observer of those things. So he was speaking beyond his capacity. But God was only gently rebuking him because he knew he'll get an A++ when this is all over. Got back all of his wealth twice.
Yes.
And his daughters were the loveliest in all of the world. So in other words, the only thing he kept was his wife. That should be amusing to you. Because you remember her words? Curse God and die. Get out of the house. And so she didn't want to see his frowning face and boils all over him and his friends, you know, carrying on discourses. And so poor Job. Nope. He hung in there and he got A++. Why? Because he now knew, I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know everything. I don't know anything. Have you ever come to that in your own life? That I don't know anything? This is so powerful. You have to realize that you're a nothing apart from Jesus. But in him, you can do all things. All right. Praise God. all my family is sick.
Oh, my goodness.
They're all sick. They passed it around. And I didn't have it yesterday, but I got it. Because I was a holy man. I know I'm not going to get that.
Yeah.
But I got it last night. And pain was all over my body and everything, you know. So I said, but, you know, being the pastor, I have to come.
Right.
So don't touch me. God is good.
Amen.
Thank you all for coming. It's such a blessing.
Yes.
Such a blessing. Yes, Lynn.
You know, I just want to share, since we have a little time, just something that the Lord blessed me with this morning as I was just, you know, listening to some teaching and you know, just expecting the word for 2018, you know, as we all do. And this just really blessed me out of Hosea 2, which is just the Lord calling his people back to him. And verse 15, it says, "And I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor, which was a valley of trouble, for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt." And from that verse, just what was exposed was that, you know, in the valley of trouble, God puts a door of hope. And that door is Jesus. And, you know, great study of Jesus as the door is in John 10. And, you know, it's a day to step through that door. Step through the door of Jesus into a place of grace and mercy and goodness and favor. And, you know, God wants to separate us, continue to separate us from the world into his rest. So lift your head.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed in how the Holy Spirit just is the lifter of my head.
Amen.
You know, on a daily basis, every time I am down, and it's like the manna theory or principle. You know, he lifts our head daily. And therefore we can sing over.
Amen.
So I just want to share that. Just the, you know, Lord's been ministering through those two words of, you know, being the lifter of my head and just singing over, because I just get down regularly. And so, and he's there to lift my head and to cause me to sing. And I just was really blessed by this word out of Hosea 2 and how it just paralleled to, you know, Jesus being the door for us to just walk through into 2018 in abundance. So anyway, I'm just going to do a little study of, further study of these two chapters, Hosea 2 and John 10.
Yes,
I know I'll be blessed. So I just...
Thank you.
Share that.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the Lord gave me this, in fact, the morning of Carl's funeral, in Psalm 24. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory."
Wow. Hallelujah.
Woohoo!
Psalm 24. Oh, that's perfect.
Yes. What I was hearing throughout this service this morning, and what I'm thinking is going to be my 2018 verse is, "But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them to love."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, what verse is that?
That is 1 Corinthians 2. Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Powerful.
Awesome.
Well, we haven't seen RE for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. but he shows up every 10 or 15 years. He's way in the back. Amen. Praise God. He is a miracle. He is a miracle. He fell off, I don't know, 100, what feet? 1,500?
110
feet. 110 feet, just right on his head. Or broke all every bone in his body. And he's alive. It's impossible. It's impossible. So, here he is. Praise God. Amen. It's too powerful. I love you all.